Hi, it's the Bob and Rob Show. This is Bob.
And this is Rob.
Hi, Rob.
Hey, Bob. It's the Bob and Rob Show.
It's the Bob and Rob Show.
This is Rob.
Again. We've done a lot of shows.
We have. How many have we done now? About 100 and...
100. So we're about, I don't know.
150 or so.
Over 100.
Oh, well over 100, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I lost count.
Yeah. But and we're still there riding and fighting the good cause for EFL students all over the world.
Yes, and ESL students.
Of course, yes.
We should explain the difference. EFL's English is a foreign language, so if you're studying it, you know, as a foreign language, you're not living in an English-speaking society. Whereas if you're a non-native English speaker living in a place like Australia or England, you're studying it as your second language that you're going to be using in your life.
Yeah, ESL, English as a second language.
We're so smart.
Okay.
You got a hodgepodge today.
Yes, that's right. We're doing a hodgepodge. Mm-hmm. And, I thought maybe, there's recently been a lot more fingerprinting at airports and...
Especially in America.
Right, yeah. UK's getting pretty bad too.
You know, the interesting about the UK is like they've got video cameras everywhere in London.
I know, yeah, it's crazy at the moment. And yeah, talk about Big Brother.
Oh, you mean you're referring to the novel 1984 by George Orwell?
Right, yeah, that Big Brother, yeah.
Surveillance everywhere.
That's where the phrase comes from, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Also, what's unfortunate is because the U.S. fingerprints everyone that enters the country now, non-U.S. citizens, now Japan's doing that.
Right.
So we're going to have to be fingerprinted whenever we come into Japan.
Even though we've got permanent residence status in Japan, which is basically the equivalent of the green card in America.
Yeah, I know.
I think actually it's going to be very negative for a lot of business people because they don't want to have to go through the hassle of fingerprinting every time they have to leave the country.
Japan just seems to copy whatever the U.S. does.
Well, yeah, I guess that's true to a degree. Yeah, yeah, they kind of toe the line.
Mm. I mean, I understand that we need to keep track of people maybe a little bit more, but, you know, is it necessary for my wife to have her picture taken every time she enters the U.S. and be fingerprinted? Every time?
I know, that's mad.
It seems like once would be enough.
Yeah.
But every single time.
Huh. Yeah, that's crazy. I know. Yeah, Big Brother, it's the oppressive state.
It is. And obviously, I think after 9/11, there's much more focus on that and, you know, keeping track of people, making sure that, you can track people down. Mm. But I think that you can always go too far. And there is a balance between civil liberties and security.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess in London, all those video surveillance cameras, in a way, they're very useful for, the bombings and stuff that you've had.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And also, I don't know, were there a lot of surveillance cameras when there was the IRA bombings?
Not really, no. They've put them in mainly for, I think also to prevent crime, because there's a lot more crime, there seems to be a lot more crime on the streets now.
Well, they must not be working.
yeah, because it's still pretty violent and dangerous.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like the idea of having cameras everywhere.
But Britain's really bad at the moment. I found this article from the Daily Yomiuri, which is it's an English daily, but it's
in Japan.
Yeah, so it's a Japanese newspaper that's written in English, and this was just dated June 14th of 2008, and I thought maybe we could just go through a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. So this senior opposition British lawmaker. Can't remember his name, but he quit the parliament in order to protest what he called the government's steady erosion of the country's civil liberties.
Sounds like the U.S.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, David Davis.
Okay, that's his name.
A Conservative Party spokesman on law and order issues said he was taking a stand to protest laws that will allow police to hold suspected terrorists for up to 6 weeks without filing charges against them, and to denounce an array of intrusions on personal freedoms.
Mm,
well, I mean, we've had a real problem with this in the U.S. in Guantanamo.
Right.
Just taking people and not basically giving them due process.
Well, some of them have been there years, right?
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, they're basically prisoners of war, I guess.
I mean, they need to have a trial. It's basically habeas corpus.
Right.
They're being denied their rights.
Right.
And I'm really against that.
Mm.
I mean, obviously, we need to arrest people that are terrorists, but they need to be arrested, charged, and they need a fair trial.
Right, right.
You just can't, like, grab people and...
And then lock them up and ignore them.
No, I mean, you know, they...
Yeah. That's not justice.
No, that's the whole ideals. Those are the ideals that we're fighting for, I thought, at least. And when we do that, then we're just kind of just like, you know, a king in his dungeon throwing people away.
Right,
know,
yeah, know. Going back to the feudal system. But this this David Davis chap from the Tory party, he said, I quote, "We will have shortly the most intrusive identity card system in the world."
Really?
A CCTV camera, that's, you know, one of those surveillance cameras.
Yeah.
And a CCTV camera for every 14 citizens.
Mm.
And a DNA database bigger than any dictatorship has, with thousands of innocent children and millions of innocent citizens on it.
Mm.
So that's, yeah, it's a bit, Britain's not, not really...
I don't see what's wrong with an identity card system, though. I think, I mean, we already have driver's license and licensees and identity cards. I actually think we need a better ID card system in the U.S.
Mm, right, right. Yeah, well, it's, yeah, if any of our listeners are planning to visit the U.K., just don't be surprised to see lots and lots of CCTV security cameras up on the streets.
So do you notice them a lot now?
Yeah, you can see them everywhere. It's it's pretty intrusive.
Yeah, I don't like it. It bothers me.
Yeah.
I can't say whether there should or shouldn't be, but...
I mean, if it prevents or if it catches some criminals, you know, mugging someone, then, yeah, I would say, oh, I'm glad it was there. But I don't know. There seem to be a lot. I mean, for every 14 citizens, that's a lot of cameras.
That is a lot
of cameras.
I mean,
there are, what, 60 million people in Britain.
Yeah, and I think what happens is, you know, if it's abused,
yeah,
and you know, the government abuses it, or you get tyrannical government, then they can easily use it just to basically oppress the public. So I think it's something that really there needs to be some safety measures so that that's not abused.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Okay, Rob. Should we move on?
Yeah. Some phrasal verbs and idioms.
Okay. Well, what are we talking? We kind of have a bit of a theme for this section, don't we, today, for phrasal verbs having to do with death.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought we could look at some synonyms which are connected to pass away. And that's a phrasal verb, to pass away. And... To say pass away, you can say die or perish or bite the dust.
Bite the dust.
Yeah, that's a kind of an idiom.
Or kick the bucket.
Yeah, kick the bucket.
Yeah, die is kind of, or to pass away means more in a kind of a peaceful connotation, peacefully, to die peacefully.
Right.
Like my grandfather passed away peacefully at the age of 96.
Right, yeah. And we prefer to say pass away rather than die. Die,
yes.
Perhaps maybe a bit blunt or direct.
Yes.
So to die, yeah, obviously means to stop living. But this can also collocate, which means go with, peacefully, or from.
Mm.
So, for example, that guy, he suddenly died last Saturday from a heart attack.
Mm. Okay, another way to say die is to perish. And this is kind of used in a literary or formal style of writing or speech when someone has died in a sudden and unexpected or violent way.
Mm,
it's also used in textbooks describing the results of accidents or war. It collocates with off or from something.
Mm-hmm.
So to perish of, to perish from, or to perish in.
Yeah.
So like in an accident, an example would be thousands of people perished in the Bosnian wars.
Right. Yeah. And the last phrase we're going to look at is to bite the dust.
It's a Queen song, isn't it? Another one bites the dust.
Oh, yeah.
Another one. Then.
Sorry. That's true. Yeah, that's true. It is. Yeah. And so this is used perhaps more in a humorous and informal way.
Yeah, definitely.
Just like kick the bucket.
Mm.
But we should warn you that it shouldn't be used to talk about real people. But we can also use it to talk about not just people, but, you know, plans or even businesses.
Yeah, that's true.
For example, Bob?
Well, like that guy's startup business didn't last long. It bit the dust last week.
Huh, yeah, right. Is the Bob and Rob show going to bite the dust? No.
Stay tuned.
Okay. And idiom for this week?
It's to see which way the wind blows.
Oh, that's the bonus idiom.
I'm sorry. To see somebody right, or to see somebody all right. And that's American English. For the American equivalent, we would say to do somebody right.
Okay, yeah.
What does that mean?
That means to make certain that someone has been paid for their services properly, and you know, to make sure that someone is treated correctly.
Yeah, so like, God forbid were I to pass away before my time, I hope my university would see my wife and family right.
Okay.
Or in other words, your workplace.
Yeah.
Your workplace. Company would take care and see your family right.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, bonus idiom?
Yeah, the bonus idiom this week is to see which way the wind blows.
Okay, an example of that would be, many successful businessmen and politicians check to see which way the wind is blowing before they commit to a project or policy.
Right, and we're not going to tell you the meaning today.
Nope. So that's going to be in the study guide.
Yeah, right? Go and check it out on the study guide.
Okay.
See which way the wind blows.
Well, you know, I was feeling good, but now I'm just down. I'm down. Frown.
You're down, you're frowning.
Got the grammar blues.
Grammar blues.
Treating me bad, making me mad.
So I thought this week, you know, we could perhaps go a little bit more on omitting words after auxiliary verbs.
Okay.
And yeah, you know, when the previous clause or sentence has no auxiliary verb, or when the auxiliary verb is a form of do, then we can use do or what some kind of it.
Yeah.
So, for example, if the main verb is the past tense, we use did. If it's the present simple, we use do.
I see. Well, let's give an example. Okay. Rob works out every Monday morning, and so do I.
Right.
Or I do too.
Mm-hmm.
So you would say that rather than, and I work out every Monday morning too.
Right. Yeah. You don't need to repeat the same
thing.
That's
just, yeah, repetitive.
Yeah. Hey, Bob, I didn't take your iPod.
No one is suggesting you did, Rob.
Okay.
No one is suggesting you did take my iPod, Rob.
Right. Yeah. So you can omit that.
Take my iPod?
Yep.
Mm.
When the be verb is the main verb in the previous sentence, we then repeat, you know, a form of the verb be.
Okay.
So, for example, you know, politicians, they're such liars.
They always are.
Yeah. Okay.
The bus is late again.
It usually is.
Yeah, so you don't need to say it usually is late again.
Right, yeah. And so because it's a be verb, it has to have the equivalent of be in the second sentence.
Well, that was a good lesson, Rob.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. What should we do now?
Should we do a joke?
Okay, why not?
You can do a Bubba, yeah, Bob?
Yeah, we can do Bubba. Got a Bubba joke and just a few terms to help you out so you can understand the joke. Redneck, which is kind of an ignorant white person.
Mm-hmm.
Very maybe bigoted.
Right. Yeah, I get that age.
Unsophisticated.
Right. Uncouth.
Uncouth. Unrefined.
And has a red neck.
Yeah, because it works out in the sun.
Right.
I mean, that's the stereotype.
Yeah, sure.
Obviously, it's...
Okay.
Just because someone does outdoor work doesn't mean they're a redneck.
Right.
In the idiomatic sense.
And there's also a name here that may be unfamiliar to the listeners. Skeeter.
That's a funny name.
It is a funny name. So Skeeter is a Skeeter. That's someone's name.
Also, there's a phone number, 911, which we say 911.
Right.
And that's the emergency services.
Okay.
911. If you ever are in trouble in the U.S., just dial that number, 911.
Right. Okay.
Okay, well, let's listen to it.
Howdy, friend. This is Bubba Bohacks for Daily Wisecrack from BubbaBohacks.com. Visit me there in the Fun Barn at BubbaBohacks.com. If you haven't been there in a while, on the website there's some new links that take you to some other fun sites, too. And maybe a few new pictures if you haven't been there in a long time. Jeff Foxworthy would say, you know you're a redneck if your front porch caves in and kills more than one dog. Well, this happened to me, but I also got trapped. I was crawling up underneath the porch there to do a little bit of work, and of course the dogs were under there. I don't know how many there was, but a bunch of them down there. And I'm doing some work, and the front porch caves right in on me, and I yell for Skeeter. He was working in the house there, and Skeeter come out and says, what? I said, Skeeter, I need some help. He says, I can't hear you. I said, I'm trapped down here with the dogs, and we need some help. Call 911. He says, I don't understand. What are you saying? The thing is, being trapped, I guess he couldn't hear because I'm down there underneath all the materials there laying on top of me. So I noticed a little bit of light, so I have a pen in my overalls and a piece of paper, so I write call 911 on a piece of paper. So I said, can you see the paper? He says, yeah, I got it. So he takes off running into the house, comes back a few minutes later, says, it don't make no sense. I said, what? He says, it don't make no sense. I can't dial this number. I found a 9, but I can't find 11.
Okay. Ba-ba-ba-ba.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, let's move on to both sides of the pond.
Okay. And, some of these we did a while back. Yeah, maybe just
review never
a
hurts.
Couple. But yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Review's good.
Okay, can I do one?
Sure.
Let's see. Knickers.
Knickers, well, we would say, you mean the trousers that go down to like the knee, just below the knee?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, we say plus fours.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Jump rope.
We say a skipping rope.
Okay. Skipping rope.
In Britain, we have a Swiss roll.
Hmm. I think we'd say a jelly roll.
Jelly roll. Hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is it? Well, interesting.
It has jelly in it.
Ah, okay.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, but we call it Swiss roll. Hmm.
During a play, mm-hmm. they often have an intermission.
I see.
Go to the bathroom or...
Right, right. We would probably say an interval.
Interesting.
And in the UK, you know, you can set up a milometer on your bike to see how far you've traveled or how
milometer.
Fast.
I think we'd say an odometer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it gauges your distance.
Yeah, an odometer.
Hmm. Okay.
Well, okay. You've got some quotes here, Rob.
Yes,
Why don't I do the first one?
Yeah, hodgepodge quotes. Yeah.
Hodgepodge quotes. This is by Robertson Davies, mm-hmm. A Voice from the Attic, which I suppose is a book.
Yeah, I believe so.
It says, the world is full of people whose notion of a satisfactory future is, in fact, a return to an idealized past. Interesting.
Mm. Yeah, nice quote. My quote comes from a chap called Warren Bennis.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, emotional intelligence, more than any other factor, more than IQ or expertise, accounts for 85% to 90% of success at work. IQ is a threshold competence. You need it, but it doesn't make you a star. Emotional intelligence can.
Oh, that's true. I agree with that. There's a really good book by Daniel somebody, Goldberg okay. maybe, and it's called Emotional Intelligence.
Yeah, so there's some truth in that.
Yes, I would rather have a high EQ than a high IQ if I had to choose between the two.
Right, right. But unfortunately, you've got neither. I'm sorry.
joke. That was good. okay. Okay, well, what's our song today, Rob?
The song is, it's called The Way the Wind Blows, because that was the bonus idiom.
Oh, good.
The Way the Wind Blows.
And that's by Jason Lee Parton.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice acoustic song.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And where did we get the song from?
We got this song from music.podshow.com, so go there if you'd like to learn more about the artist.
Okie dokie.
Well, we were talking about maybe going out for a beer after we finish this show.
That's right. Well, should we go and do that?
Yeah, I think it's time to wrap it up.
Mm-hmm. And then pull the
pour plant. Ourselves a frosty one.
It sounds good to me, mate.
Okay, everyone, you have a good week, and we'll see you back here again next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care.